What to expect when you contact the Canadian Human Trafficking Hotline. Hi, and welcome to a special podcast for drivers and delivery people to commemorate the World Day Against Trafficking in Persons, presented in collaboration with the Canadian Centre to End Human Trafficking, Uber's valued anti-trafficking advocacy partner in Canada. I'm your host, Nick Pelthorpe, Law Enforcement Liaison Lead for Uber in Canada, and I'm joined here today with Julia Drydick, the Executive Director of the Canadian Centre to End Human Trafficking, which is the operator of the Canadian Human Trafficking Hotline. Hi, Julia. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Nick. Thank you so much for having me.
Since 2015, Uber has helped raise awareness around human trafficking education and encouraged users to contact the Canadian Human Trafficking Hotline if they witness something they think could be human trafficking. But we realize many people may not know what the hotline is or what may happen when they call. That's why we're here today with Julia, to learn more about the Canadian Human Trafficking Hotline and what drivers and delivery people may expect if they reach out. Julia, first, why don't we start by explaining what human trafficking is at a higher level?
Human trafficking is a crime that occurs when someone uses force, fraud, or coercion to compel another person to either engage in sex in exchange for money or something else of value, or to perform labor or other services. I want to say also that under the Canadian Criminal Code, there's no such thing as a minor sex worker. In Canada, no one under the age of 18 can ever consent to the sale of their own sexual services. They do, they're considered exploited. Force, fraud, and coercion can take many different forms. Control over a victim can be psychological, emotional, financial, or physical in nature. And traffickers look for specific characteristics in order to give themselves power over their victims. As a result, victims can feel like they're left without any options, unable to leave their situations, or else suffer consequences that seem even worse than staying in the trafficking situation. This applies to both sex and labor trafficking, but the methods of force, fraud, and coercion can look really different in each circumstance. It is estimated that around 24.9 million people around the world are trapped in some form of human trafficking. Human trafficking intersects with virtually every industry, but in different ways. From traffickers who use banks to store their earnings and buses to move their victims around, to the hotel rooms that are integral to the operations of some sex traffickers, and the social media platforms that are vital recruitment tools.
Interesting. And how might this look to someone driving or delivering with Uber?
There's many different types of sex and labor trafficking that occur in Canada, and drivers and delivery people may interact with multiple types in their work or in their personal lives. One of the most common forms of trafficking we see in Canada is sex trafficking. And this predominantly takes place through escort services, where sex trafficking victims and sex buyers will meet up in person. In the context of Uber, drivers may interact with victims as they travel in between so-called dates at hotels or private residences. Drivers may overhear riders talk about their boyfriend or a third-party controller, or they might notice other signs that the rider is experiencing emotional or physical distress, or being forced or coerced in other ways. Labor trafficking occurs in a variety of industries. This can include restaurants, where delivery people might pick up food orders. Delivery people might witness restaurant employees that appear to always be working, never have time off, appear heavily monitored, mistreated, or threatened by their employers, or even speak about their documents being confiscated or a debt that they're forced to work off. These are just a few examples. And there's no single indicator that means human trafficking is occurring. So it's important to learn how and why sex and labor trafficking happens so that you can be part of the solution. For more information about human trafficking, listeners can visit our website at www.CanadianCentreToEndHumanTrafficking.ca.
Wow, there's a lot of information there. Thanks for breaking that down for us. I'm glad Uber has been fortunate enough to work with the Canadian Centre and other partners over the years. Okay, so what is the Canadian Human Trafficking Hotline?
The Canadian Human Trafficking Hotline is a 24-hour anti-trafficking hotline. We serve every single Canadian province and territory. The hotline provides human trafficking victims and survivors with access to critical support and services to get help and stay safe. The hotline has been in operation since May 2019 by the Canadian Centre to End Human Trafficking. We're a national charity and a non-governmental organization. We're not a government entity, We're not a law enforcement agency, and we don't provide direct services, but we do work very closely with these partners in order to support individuals, communities, and survivors of trafficking. The hotline is also multimodal, so people can call or use the chat function to talk to one of our hotline response advocates in real time.
Okay, so who exactly answers calls and chats on the hotline?
The hotline is operated by a team of specially trained hotline response advocates. They have undergone extensive training to use a trauma-informed approach when responding to calls. They are trained to listen closely to each caller's individual experience without judgment, offer them different options, and help them to take steps to ensure their safety and connect them to the most appropriate service if requested.
Right, so when should a driver or delivery person contact the hotline?
They can contact the hotline if they suspect a situation could be human trafficking based on something they've overheard during a trip or delivery, or even something that they've observed that doesn't seem right. They can also contact the hotline to connect someone to anti-trafficking services or crisis intervention if they have directly asked them for help. The hotline is also available for anyone, including drivers and delivery people, who may need information, help for themselves, particularly if they or someone they know might be experiencing a situation that could be sex or labor trafficking, or even if they're at a high risk of trafficking. Anyone can call at any time to speak with an advocate about options for help.
And if they do, what happens when they call the hotline?
When you call the hotline, you'll first hear a brief introduction, which will ask you to make a selection. Callers can choose their preferred language, be it English or French, and select an option to indicate if the call is urgent. Occasionally, the hotline is experiencing higher than normal call volume, so callers may be placed in a queue until the next hotline response advocate is available to answer. On each call, the hotline response advocate will triage the caller's situation to determine the level of urgency and conduct what we call a safety assessment. They'll go on to speak with you about your needs, and they'll ask questions to help us better understand how we can help you. What happens next will vary based on the call. At the end of the call, callers will receive a unique case number to reference if they ever need to call back.
And are callers required to give personal information when they call the hotline? If they do provide their information, will anyone else know that they've called the hotline?
This is a really great question, Nick. Callers are never required to provide personal information, and they can remain anonymous for any reason. Even if you do provide your information, all communications with the hotline are strictly confidential, which means that we will not confirm to anyone else that you have or have not called the hotline unless you provide us with explicit permission to do so. The hotline does not record incoming or outgoing calls. However, we do have a responsibility to inform the appropriate authorities if we suspect child abuse or if we have reason to believe that there's imminent harm to you or others. To every extent possible, the hotline response advocates will always inform you of any actions they plan to take on your behalf and or if your information will be shared with a third party.
But what if the caller is in immediate danger, Julia?
So the hotline will advise callers experiencing a life-threatening emergency to hang up and dial 911. We encourage callers to call us back for additional assistance once the emergency situation has been addressed. The hotline can also assist with directly connecting callers to 911 if the callers are unable to call themselves or if that's what they choose.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. What if a driver wasn't in immediate physical danger but needed help right away? For example, if they had a rider who was afraid to get out of the car at their destination because they didn't know what was going to happen to them when they got there and they asked the driver for help.
This is another excellent question, Nick. So when there's a crisis situation like that, the hotline will first conduct a safety assessment, and this will determine if the caller is safe to speak with the hotline. The hotline will address any safety concerns first and will work with the caller to create a safety plan while on the call, which may include actions the hotline should take if the call is suddenly interrupted. Once immediate safety is addressed, then we work with the caller to assess their immediate needs and the best next steps, and we'll explore what crisis options are available in the caller's area. Crisis cases are prioritized by the hotline. A crisis response can typically involve coordinating emergency services like shelter, transportation, medical services, or intervention from law enforcement if requested. This service coordination often occurs while the call is still in progress or within minutes of the call ending. So in the example that you gave, if at all possible, the hotline response advocate may ask to directly speak with the potential victim to assess their safety and, more importantly, what they wish to happen next. If the potential victim is unsure of where they are, the hotline response advocate might ask the driver for their help in identifying the location in order to coordinate services or emergency response. If the potential victim's drop-off destination isn't safe for them, then the hotline response advocate may ask the driver to drive to a safer, well-lit location, like a nearby gas station or a hospital, while the crisis coordination takes place. Crisis cases often involve ongoing follow-up calls between the hotline and the victim and the local service providers and law enforcement to ensure that crisis needs have been met, and in many cases, to make referrals for longer-term assistance.
Excellent, thank you. Will the hotline come to the location of the caller if they needed help right away?
The hotline is not a direct service provider, and we can't directly intervene in a crisis or emergency situation. But we do work with a network of over 800 trained service providers and law enforcement partners who are available to provide immediate assistance in communities across Canada. So depending on the needs of the caller, the hotline may, for example, contact service provider partners to connect the caller to an emergency shelter or other emergency services for trafficking survivors. We might provide safety planning and support to help keep the caller safe after the call is ended. We can also create a plan with the caller to follow up after the crisis to provide additional support. Or, if requested, we can contact law enforcement partners to request immediate intervention and assistance to a caller in crisis.
Wow, thank you. There's an incredible amount of information there. What if a driver suspected that they witnessed a human trafficking situation but weren't sure?
We encourage all members of the public, including drivers and delivery people, to reach out to the hotline to discuss a potential trafficking situation. At times, the hotline can assist a community member by facilitating a tip report to the police. It's okay if you're not 100% sure about what you're seeing. It's not always easy to tell if human trafficking is taking place, even if you've taken a training or learned about some red flag indicators. Our hotline staff are specifically trained on conducting human trafficking assessments for all forms of human trafficking. So, if someone is unsure about the situation, the hotline can help you assess the trafficking indicators and determine the next best steps. Wherever possible, we do prefer to speak directly to the individuals involved to discuss the various service referral options and receive explicit consent to make any report on their behalf if they wish to do so.
Excellent. What should drivers and delivery people expect to be asked if they're calling to report a tip about someone who they think may be a human trafficking victim or a suspicious location or business?
Every call will be different based on the type of trafficking being reported. But when you call the hotline to discuss a potential human trafficking situation, a hotline response advocate will ask you a series of questions to assess the situation for human trafficking and for the level of urgency. We'll elicit key details about the situation as well. So, for example, we may ask questions about your proximity to the situation or how you learned about this information. The hotline response advocate may ask you for very specific details about the situation, and this can help law enforcement in opening an investigation if appropriate. We will ask about any potential trafficking indicators, specifics about the location where the trafficking may be occurring, and descriptive information about the potential victims and or the perpetrators in the situation. This can include the driver or delivery person's best estimate on age, gender, physical appearance, or any other identifying information. Other helpful points could also be names or nicknames overheard, license plate numbers, or business names. It's always up to you how much information you want to share. And remember, you can always remain anonymous. You can stop or skip a question at any time if you don't feel comfortable answering. And we will always ask if you wish to have your contact information shared with law enforcement for follow-up. This is not a requirement, and we will not share your contact information without your permission.
Okay. So what does the hotline do with the information they receive from tips?
So again, it really varies case by case, and it depends on the information that we receive. Several outcomes could include a follow-up call for additional information or to coordinate next steps. We could also submit a report to law enforcement for a potential investigation or submit a report to our service provider partners for follow-up. If after conducting assessment, we don't believe that there are sufficient indicators of human trafficking, the hotline may encourage the caller to call back if any new information comes to light. A case is created for every call, so a caller can refer to their case number and add supplemental information at any time.
Amazing, thank you. That's helpful to know the immediate steps taken. How do you decide whether or not to report a situation to law enforcement?
So again, the decision is made on a case-by-case basis. Consent from a victim and the safety of any individuals involved are the most important factors when we decide whether or not to make a report to law enforcement. When we are unable to speak directly with the victim, we'll assess based on a variety of considerations, including but not limited to the urgency of the situation and safety concerns, as well as the presence of trafficking indicators, evidence of endangered minors, and any high risks or unintended potential consequences to a victim as a result of the report. Our actions also depend on the trafficking response and reporting protocols in a given area.
So let me get this right. Sometimes you may not report the tip to law enforcement.
That's right, Nick. The safety and choice of the potential victim is always our primary consideration. The hotline supports a victim's right to choose what next steps to take, including whether or not to access services or report information about his or her experience to law enforcement. Hotline response advocates will work with the caller to explore all available options and will not take action without the consent of the caller, except in circumstances where child abuse is suspected or if they have reason to believe that the caller or victim is in immediate danger.
Thanks, Julia. Is there anything else drivers or delivery people should know?
I think it's important to remind drivers and delivery people that the Canadian Centre to End Human Trafficking advises that you do not try to directly intervene, engage with any potential victims, or call attention to the situation. Even if you have the best of intentions, attempting to engage or intervene could put you, the victim, and those nearby in danger, or result in further traumatizing the victim. Instead, if you observe a situation, you can keep mental notes of the physical descriptions, locations or addresses, business names, people's names, and behaviors. Then you can pull over when you feel safe to do so and call the Canadian Human Trafficking Hotline to report the situation.
And finally, Julia, how can someone contact the hotline?
People can call the toll-free hotline at 1-833-900-1010. Again, this line is answered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year in both French and English. Callers can speak with the hotline in more than 200 additional languages using a 24-hour teleinterpreting service. Hearing and speech-impaired individuals can contact the hotline by dialing 711 to access the free national access number that connects to telecommunications relay services. You can also reach out to our trained hotline response advocates via the chat option on our website at www.canadianhumantraffickinghotline.ca or by email. There's also the option of submitting a tip online through our website.
Wonderful, Julia. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. I think we've all learned a lot.
Thank you so much for having me, Nick. And thanks to all the drivers and delivery people for what you do to help keep our cities safe. For more information about human trafficking, listeners can visit www.canadiancentretoendhumantrafficking.ca.